Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show in New Mexico. I'm David Franklin.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan. I hope everyone's doing well this evening.
Yes, yes. Hope everyone is out there and well and keeping warm. It's very cold. I hate this cold. It's very frightening, this cold.
Yep.
It's supposed to snow here tomorrow. It sucks. Anyway, it's January 19th, 2023. Today's topic, Season 4, Episode 6, Toxic Masculinity, Death to the Patriarchy. So toxic masculinity is a big problem around the world. You think it is a last-ditch effort by insecure, desperate men to hold on to the status quo? Andrew Tate has been in the news lately. He was the most searched-for person in Google in 2022. Are men like him part of the problem, or only a symptom of a bigger problem? Men go their own way, or MGTOW, and other all-male cliques are growing in numbers, influencing men and high school boys. Is it toxic, their doctrine, or is society overreacting to poor male groups like this? Thank you for joining us, and say what you feel when you call in. The number is 515-605-9802. When you acknowledge, say your first name and where you're calling from. Don't be shy. Everybody is welcome here, whether Democrat, Republican, Independent, Socialist, Communist, whoever. Christian, non-Christian, atheist, whoever. You know, give us a call and tell us how you feel. Turn off all your TV and electronic devices as they are distracting. We look forward to hearing from different perspectives from our loyal listeners. This is Kitchen Politics 123. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. Okay, so where should we start in this topic? You know, it's very touchy, this topic. And as I said, Andrew Tate has been in the news recently. You know, what do you feel about somebody like Andrew Tate? Is he a menace to society, or does he, you know, does what he says hold value?
Well, Andrew Tate, in my opinion, is not a stellar person. May have had circumstances in his life, which everyone has circumstances. They have things that happen to them, things that affect them, things that affect their thoughts, their feelings, and the way they take those thoughts and feelings and apply them to their daily life. Everyone chooses to do things differently. Now, do I agree with what he did, how he chose to, you know, make his money and have his podcast or whatever it is? And no, I don't agree. I feel that it could have been from past experiences, but it also was blown up by him in my opinion. To me, he sounds like he really got burned at some point, which he may have. I have no clue. But also, he took that situation and expanded it into a moneymaker, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and he truly hates women. He truly does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. You know, I don't know. To me, chivalry is dead. Why? Because of the ultra third wave feminism. I think that kills chivalry.
Mm-hmm.
It's totally dead.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with Andrew Tate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there must be a market for what men going through in the world. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, especially here in the United States where there's this
mm-hmm.
pussification of men, of young boys. For example, you know, you have a Little League soccer tournament, and
mm-hmm.
after the tournament is done, everybody gets a trophy, you know, a participation
mm-hmm.
trophy. That's not real
mm-hmm.
life, you know. So,
no.
You know, in that aspect, I think, you know, that's like the dumbing down of men. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
like to accept, you know, last place and you get a participation trophy. In real life, that don't happen. You know,
mm-hmm.
but let's see what this call from Illinois has to say.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, caller.
Okay.
Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
Hi, this is Carol from Chicago.
Hello,
Hi, Carol.
Welcome.
Hi. I prepared a little bit for this program by looking up some stuff that I had come across on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing
mm-hmm.
that shocked me about the toxic masculinity is it has very deep roots. This is going all the way back to Greece. Okay, Greece.
Mm-hmm.
We had the first, a very brilliant woman who did a lot of inventing, and she was a mathematician and a philosopher, Hypatia. And she was also a virgin. She observed celibacy, although she had a lot of men that admired her for her beauty and
mm-hmm.
her intellect. And she
mm-hmm.
was literally drugged through the streets by a group of Christians who took her to a temple, ripped her limb from limb, you know, beat her, flayed her, murdered her for no apparent reason other than at the time, a lot of pagans were converting to Christianity because they feared being harassed there were a lot of Christian extremists at that time. And she was
mm-hmm.
actually loved by many Christians and pagans. She believed in a one God, a one source of all of the universe, which was pretty enlightened for her age.
Mm-hmm.
And it was shocking to me that this happened 2,000 years ago, and they burned the book at Alexandria. And now today, you've
yeah.
got these men, extremist men. I don't believe that they're truly Christian, following the example of Christ, which he was very polite and kind to women. They're
mm-hmm.
burning books. They don't want women educated. Some of them are talking about taking away our vote. You've got the incels who say that women owe them sex. Very entitled, okay, very entitled. And, you know, what I'm looking at is, when does this end? You know, the good Lord created woman as a helpmate for Adam, so they say, okay, but we are, in fact, in ancient history, we were warrior women. We ran the world for a while. There's a lot of evidence of goddess worship and matriarchal societies, and then switched over to patriarchal. And I really think this should not be one sex over the other, but rather they work together. You know, each one has the
mm-hmm.
skill that's needed. And what I'm seeing is a sense of entitlement and immature men, not all men, don't get me wrong, but the ones who are immature and insecure in their own masculinity, that's why they're trying to put women down. They can't stand the idea of a smart woman or,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
being rejected in any way, shape, or form. But I wanted
mm-hmm.
to say that this has been a problem going back a long, long time. If you look at the history, there was warrior women called Amazons.
Right.
Now, we're taught that that's a myth, okay? But I have a problem with that. Because there was a civil war in an African nation in which an elite group of women came out of the jungle saying they were the daughters of the Amazon. And they were warrior women. Now,
right, Viola Davis made a movie out of that recently. I know exactly what you're talking about. You're right.
Yes, yes. I didn't see the movie, but I know about it. And the other thing is, here's the deal. Roman Empire recorded everything, okay? So they have they have lists of names of soldiers that did battles, and they can tell you when the guy was buried and when he was born, what battles he was in. And then a lot of these men who were warriors, who were outstanding warriors, they had paramours, they had concubines, they had women who came and ritually mated with them. You want to talk about the world's first genetic program? They were ritually, warriors were mating with warriors on the theory that that would produce strong, able warrior progeny. So they had listed their ritual mates as Amazon women. They had names. Okay? This is all part of the record. Now they're trying to tell us, with the advent of course, Christianity, that those records were false. The records of their birth and death and their wars, that was accurate. But when it comes to mating with the Amazons, that couldn't be accurate because Amazons don't exist. You see what you see my problem with that? If it's sexual all through the man's life, and he admits his I wouldn't say wife, because ritual mating doesn't mean that they stay together forever. Okay? But his girlfriend, wife, whatever, ritual mated with Flora, so-and-so, an Amazon warrior woman. Why would that not be sexual when everything else is? You see what I'm saying? So that's the myth out of our history. And they've even found archaeological evidence of one woman warrior. And they traveled thousands and thousands of miles from her genetic origins. And, she had, evidently she had no children buried with her. But that doesn't mean she didn't have any children. She may have had children, and in some cases they left them with the husband, the husband's family, which you can still see that tradition in the Middle East. If a woman divorces in Muslim society, many times the children stay with her. Stay with the man around in some of these places. So what I'm saying is, we've been given a one-sided history that women are to stay in the house and they're not to leave the house and not to be educated, they're not to do anything. Now the reality is quite different, and even in the colonies, the women that first came to Jamestown, because it was all men, and they raped and killed the natives. And trust me, I was adopted by a native tribe and I learned a lot of the other side of the story. They were raping and pillaging because they had guns, fire sticks, and the natives only had bows and arrows, and you couldn't possibly compete with a gun. So they were raping and pillaging until they got women in there. And if you go to Jamestown, thereabouts, they'll tell you in colonial life was very rough until the women arrived. Now, to get the women to go to a faraway place that was rough and tumble like America, they had to more or less bribe them. And the company, the Virginia Company in London, offered them a huge dowry. So these women had property. And unlike women in Europe, they got to make their own financial decisions until they married. Once they married in the colonies, the man could control whatever dowry or funds she had left. Okay.
Right.
But
so, Carol, I want to ask a question, though. I want to ask a question.
Go ahead.
Do you think because of religion and society from the starting of the American colonists right now today, do you think religion played a key role in the objectification of women and the downtrodden of women?
Yes. Absolutely.
I agree.
Not only that,
I do too.
Not only do they do that, but they do it in direct conflict with Christ's example and Christ's teaching. When Christ extended his hand to the woman, the Good Samaritan and the woman at the well, she was an enemy tribe. And she was somebody that he should normally hate, right? But he didn't. He did that because he had compassion and he treated her with respect. Every single Bible story about him, he is unusually respectful of women. But look what Christian men have twisted it. They've twisted it to uphold this Greek and Roman model.
Narrative.
Right, to suppress women. But that's not what Christ did. So, you know, we have a conflict between the example Christ said and did and the actual behavior of men calling themselves Christians. Now, having said that, I don't have anything against Christians. I know most of my family is very religious with a lot of pastors, and there's a lot of good Christian men. Don't get me wrong. But right now, we're seeing extremism in our country. And who is leading the extremism? It is mostly Christian right-wing men. I could say names, but I'm not going to go there. It's pastors who are literally preaching hate from the pulpit. Hatred of civil rights for minorities, hatred of the Democrats, hatred of women. They say that feminism is a sin and you don't need feminism and blah, blah, blah. Feminism is not a sin because you are oppressing us. You are not following Christ's example. You take the words and twist them, and you ignore his example. And that,
so, Carol,
to me, there's a big problem with religion trying to justify what is really sexism.
But what do you say to the men who say that in a society, the only thing that society really care about are children, women, and animals? Men have to stamp on their own and stamp on be a man, you know, be strong, be bold, be tough. You know, if men cry, then, you know, geez, he's soft. Or if men hold back and don't share. And so, geez, you know, he's like standoffish and, you know, bottled up and everything. So it's like, you know, you damn if you do, damn if you don't as a man. You know, what do you say to somebody like that?
That's a stereotype, and it's damaging to men as well as it is to women, because the greatest philosophers, the greatest inventors, many of them had tender emotions and expressed them. When you try to warp yourself to feel sick, cartoon character, a Superman, and never had any feelings or anything like this. No, I think you need to stand up and get a job and stuff like that. But I also think a man has a softer side, just like a woman has a warrior side. We are not one or the other. We are both. We have a duality within our being. And really, psychologically, it's unbalanced to try to be extremely masculine and never admit to have any feelings. It causes mental and physical stress. That's where we're getting the insults from. These are people who have never learned any social skills. They can't empathize with people. That's all I had to say.
Sure.
I wanted to point out that this is a long-standing hidden history of women that shapes our beliefs. And it's false. It's based on falsehood. Those women that came over here had money in the colonies. And a farmer's wife is very independent, very valuable, and has a lot of power. So, you know, the reality is women work as hard as men.
Sometimes harder.
Yes.
Because they work all day and then go home and work at, you know, get dinner ready, laundry, get their children ready for school, pack their lunches, you know, do their homework with them. It's, you know, so women are, you know, multitaskers as well.
I agree.
And you know, the other thing is that I just want to mention, in the Catholic Church, because you were talking a little bit about religion, and in the Catholic mm-hmm. Church, I know that if a person separates or if they get a divorce, you know, they're not excommunicated from the church. And, you know, they're still in good standing, which really blows my mind. But, I mean, I don't mean that in a negative sense. I just mean that they, you know, can tell a couple that, oh, well, you're going to get a divorce, but you're still in good standing with the church. You know, that kind of bothers me. But the other thing is that if you do not annul your marriage, then you are excommunicated from the church. You know, I just really.
Well, I think the reality is that we've been sold a line of BS in the name of religion. And you look at Christ's example, numerous examples with his mother and Mary Magdalene and everybody else. He was never a toxic male. He was never rude or unkind to women. In fact, he went out of his way to do the opposite. So why are these men calling themselves Christian and then treating women in a very debasing way? You know, and they say, well, you know, they use names for us that are tied to our genitals. We're only this, we're only that.
I sort of feel that the word Christian has become a useful word for many different reasons. You know, someone will say, oh, yes, I'm a Christian. Am I supposed to think because you're a Christian, in quotes, that you're a good person? Really? I mean, walk the walk and talk the talk. That's the way I feel. You know, you can say you're a Christian man or you can say you're a Christian woman, but if you don't walk the walk, you know, and talk the talk, you know, you're not. You have to actually live as a Christian, as a good person, you know, helping others, et cetera. So it's really easy to say, oh, I'm a Christian, you know, don't judge me because I go to church every Sunday, you know, and I read my Bible. Well, that means nothing to me. Show me what you do on an everyday basis in your life, and then we can talk.
I totally agree. That's why I pointed this out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, Carol, before I take this other call, in 2016, it is a record 67% of white women, voted for Donald Trump to be president over Hillary Clinton. Do you think that's part of the problem to where, you know, although I call it self-hate, because Donald Trump is an awful, disgusting man, but yet still 67% of America voted for him? Yeah, according to the poll.
I don't know that it's self-hate. I think there was a lot of vilifying of Hillary Clinton for a lot of reasons. But really, it comes down to because I'm an old woman. So I remember very well when Bill Clinton cheated on her, they were saying two things. She was in double bind. They said if she stood by him, that was because he was ambitious and was going to try to run for president, and she was a real bitch.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they were saying. If she left him, then, oh, look at that, she was just using him for his money. So she couldn't win no matter what she did. She was the mother of all sins. And by the way, this whole thing about Eve is the mother because of Eve, man fell, that goes right back to Greece, too. They had the same story. They called it Pandora's Box. She opened the box and all the bad things hit the world. So, I mean, you know, this is not reasonable. The truth is that colonial women were very powerful in their own right. And not only that, the Western European model is not the only model. There are other cultures, like the Native cultures, where women had the right to vote right from the beginning. They were treated as an equal partner. It only took four clan mothers to take down a bad chief in many tribes, not all tribes. But many tribes were patriarchal, and so they had a very big voice in whether they went to war or didn't, and all kinds of stuff. So the thing is, we're programmed to accept an ancient model and stereotypes that are just not working. They're not for the men, and they're not for the women. And it's time to change, too. You know, the Republicans want to take us back to the woman stays at home and doesn't work. Well, how does that work if you don't pay the man a living wage?
That's right.
How does that work if you can't afford to rent? You see what I'm saying? It's unsustainable without change. They don't want the change. And so it's a fantasy they have that you can go backwards in time and cramp women into this little box, and the man magically is going to be able to handle everything on their poor wages. So, I mean, it's I think they're very delusional in what they want. And Donald Trump was the perfect candidate for toxic men because he modeled he modeled it with his life. That women were good for one thing. It was okay if he raped them or fondled them or groped them. And he bragged on it. And of course, we know that women have an intellect. They have a soul. They have a spirit. This is not who we are. So I think I think we have to educate women. And also, Donald Trump did a lot of his stuff. I did a lot of internet searching, and a lot of stuff got scrubbed off the internet. And it was hard to talk to Republicans about some of the things he had done because they didn't want to believe it. But, you know, I think before we run anyone for president, they need to be vetted. You know, if they have a mental health problem, they shouldn't be president. If they have a corruption problem, that should be known. And I think the women did not know. And once it became more evident, I think they started getting disgusted with him. And it's like only now that the people are beginning to say, oh, yeah, he lied to me. You know, he was a con man. It's only now. And then how many years? 6 years. 6 years because he had a whole bunch of people lying for him, mostly extremist pastors. They call themselves Christian, but if you look at their beliefs, they're not Christian.
Well, I have another caller, Carol. But thank you for calling and everything. We really appreciate the input.
Thanks so much.
But yes, ma'am.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Yes, ma'am.
Good night.
That was Carol from Illinois. Hello, caller from Michigan. Welcome to the show. What's cooking tonight?
You must mean me. This is Elaine.
Elaine,
I'm calling in a little late.
Oh,
hi,
no
honey,
problem. Tonight's topic. Tonight's topic is toxic masculinity, death to the patriarchy. What do you think about masculinity in today's world and today's American society? Do you think there is a major problem with toxicity with males or some males? What's your perspective?
I think women still have a long way to go, a long, long way to go. And I overheard Laurie's explanation of why women voted for Trump. There's another explanation that I'd like to add to it. I know personally of a couple women. I'm going to leave that out. I know of one woman who was studying to be a nun. I guess she studied to be a nun. I don't remember anymore. Anyways, was going to be a nun. She voted for Donald Trump to save the babies.
That's what I think. That's where, David, and I do believe that a lot of the votes that were women did vote for that him for that reason, because they were right to lifers. You know what I'm saying?
And they didn't care what happened to the rest of us.
He was against abortion. It was like, oh, wow, you know, I got to vote for him. I think basically that was part of it. I truly do. And we know that's not true, you know, that he is not, you know, that at all.
Well, you know, I don't understand that logic.
They knew he was the callous, catalyst. They knew he was the person that was going to do it for them. They didn't care who he was, how bad he was. They didn't care about his background. They didn't care about anything. They were they were totally, totally one agenda.
Yeah.
But the thing is,
I mean, that's
just
sad.
Like, when you watch... when you watch Jordan Klepper from The Daily Show, for example, where he interviews Trump supporters when he goes to these rallies and all, you know, you know, women made the point that, oh, you know, women are emotional. Of course, it was that time of month again, where they're too emotional and press a nuclear button, for example. You know, that's a logic, that's a thinking with some women. I mean, college-educated women voted in droves for Donald Trump as well. College-educated women. You know, so that part I don't understand, because you'd think that, oh, college-educated, have a great job, have a great career, get paid good. And, you know, so, oh, look at Hillary. You know, she come from nothing into something. I can identify with her. I'd vote for her. But as Carol said from Illinois, that, you know, is a big vilification by, you know, on Hillary Clinton, over 30 years of vilification. You know, so they went with Trump. Yeah. So how do you explain college-educated women with high-paying jobs and careers voting for Donald Trump? I don't get that.
Because we don't know their secret. We don't know their secret life. Leather and lace, kooky, tacky, whatever you call it.
It's book smart.
Their hidden life is not exactly above board.
Well, you know, Elaine, sometimes, and David, sometimes, you know, people are very intelligent, highly educated, you know, and they're just book smart, but they're not logical. I know some people like that. They're not logical. They make wrong decisions all the time in their daily life, but they're but they're book smart. They're really good at their job. They can do things that are amazing at their job. But when it comes to their daily life and making decisions, you know, like for the president or for, you know, different things, there's no logic. There's absolutely no logic. So
yeah, but lifestyle, Lori, lifestyle enters into this too. There are a lot of women who have good jobs. They dress nice, they look nice, they smell nice. But when they go home, their atmosphere at home is something we wouldn't want.
Oh, of course.
I mean, without me spelling it out, they have a very sick private life. And that's why Donald Trump appealed to them.
Yeah. Elaine, TV on?
I'll go in the other room.
Okay, yeah, because
I thought I had it muffled. Oh, I thought I had it muffled.
That's okay. So,
okay,
you know,
I'll change the topic now. Oh, wait, finish your point. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, did my point make any sense? I mean, truthfully, that's part of how I think, you know, because of the experiences that I've had with different people and the decisions that they made in for different reasons with different topics. Things that's gone on in their lives, and for, you know, talking about voting, we're Democrat versus Republican, and the logic is not there. You know, it's just not there. And like I said, very intelligent in their jobs, but when it comes to street smart, book smart, you know, it's a different story.
No common sense.
Yeah.
No common
sense. How about
sense.
This?
And the other
this?
Is lifestyle. I know... There's quite a few ladies. I wouldn't want to go to their house. I would not want to go to their house. I do not like the lifestyle that they lead.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. They are the super dirty laundry in church.
How about this? Men go their own way. That is a group. Of just made up of men and everything, and they make a point where they say, okay, you know, you're in a good relationship, steady relationship, you may have kids, may not, and, you know, it's like, oh, you know, I'm a strong, independent woman, don't need no man, but yet still, when it suits them, because their friends getting married, or their friends having kids, say, oh, okay, now time to settle down, hey, pop a question. You know, that's some of the arguments that men go their own way, saying that, you know, you should play by her rules and you should play by what you're feeling at the moment, because her friend's doing this or you know, whatever the reason, you know,
mm-hmm.
and men say, no, okay, I thought you were a strong, independent woman, so why are you all getting
mm-hmm.
married? I'm not in the mood to get married, not yet anyway. And it's like, you know, marriage is forcing men, you know, like the force of marriage upon them, you know,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, when that happened, you know, a lot of times, 50% are probably more known in society where men not ready to get married, and they do get married, and within 2-3 years, the woman divorce
mm-hmm.
him, take away half of what he owns, take away his house,
mm-hmm.
you know, take the kids with her, child support just through the roof, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I'm not saying all women are gold diggers, but there are those women out there who want to keep up with the Joneses and the Kardashians because their friends doing this, they want to, like,
mm-hmm.
follow suit and everything. What do you say to, you know, men who, you know, have that feeling and going through things like that?
I don't disagree with what you just said, but you have to realize that it's not all women, you know, and we go back to your experiences that you've had in your relationship, in your life, and those guide you through. May it be a negative relationship or may it be a love relationship. Those are the things that will guide you through at the end. But I don't think all women are gold diggers. You know, I don't personally. Do I think that there are some out there, yes, that feel they have invested years of their childbearing lives and they feel like they're in a good relationship and, you know, let's get married before I'm too old to have children type thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I think that does exist. Yes, I do think
mm-hmm.
that exists.
Mm-hmm. And it comes back to men blind, where at the start of the show, at the top of the show, said that, you know, chivalry is there because of ultra third wave feminism. You know, I mean, feminism is important because without feminism, there wouldn't be a female vote. You know, there wouldn't have women working in different jobs now, being Supreme Court justices and, you know, all
for
that
sure.
good stuff. But like any other
the
group,
laws have changed,
you know?
The laws have changed quite a bit, too. To protect the gold digger on each side, the laws now say, what did you bring into the marriage? Now, if a man marries a woman, let's say she's a lawyer, and he worked for the big three on the line, doesn't mean he's stupid, but that's the job he chose. That's
right.
the job he chose. And then he decides that he wants some young chickie poo, and he figures he's going to get the yacht and the house and the condo, and it doesn't go that way anymore. It's what you brought into the marriage. If she already brought that yacht into the marriage and the house and all those other little goodies, he doesn't get them like he thought he was going to. So it's a two-way street now.
Isn't Pardon? That where a nuptial agreement would come into play? I mean,
nuptial agreement, but also there is to protect people that don't have a nuptial agreement where you have a lot of nice things, a nice house in Farmington Hills and a boat out in St. Clair Shores and Dock, and maybe a couple of super nice cars in a garage, and the man thinks he's going to get them. It doesn't work that way anymore. The law says, what did you bring into the marriage? And if he just brought his motorcycle and his and a few things and his laundry, that's what he's going to get in the divorce.
No,
I have a strong independent woman on the line from Michigan. Hello, Carla. Welcome to the show. What do you have to say?
As a strong independent woman, Mr. David, I just wanted to say that. You made a comment about, and when a woman is a strong, independent woman, and then why would she need a man? Is that what I took from your question, Dave?
Yes, because a lot of women going around this, you know, saying that.
Okay.
You know, I'm a strong, independent woman.
Yeah, a strong, independent woman. Why would she need a man as far as get a man? Well, that was your question, correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And me being, I like to feel, after all the life that I've lived, a strong, independent woman, because you learn to be strong or you sink or swim, one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Strong, independent woman. Dave, I'm a strong, independent woman when it comes down to a subject matter, something in the news, something scholastically, something from work, but I just don't want men to think that a strong, independent woman means when you're strong, only your opinion counts, or when you're independent, it's only what you want. It just means that you know what you like. You're comfortable with your skin. You look in the mirror and you don't have to see a Kardashian to validate yourself. That's what I mean by strong, independent woman. And I think more and more women nowadays are really starting to think that way because they're learning from the young girls, these new 22-year-olds. They're smarter. Look what they did at the election time. They're smart, and they're stronger. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a strong, independent. I think men interpret it a little bit as power. I really don't believe that that's what women are, you know, we're born, bred, and are out to do, get power. Only in their what they have conviction for. That's their power. So,
let me ask another question.
I'm a strong, independent woman, David, but I think you're a great human being.
Thank you. I think you're great, too.
You're welcome.
But another question I have is, so for example, you meet a man, he's a nice person. He doesn't have that, you know, Wall Street type of job and everything, that making 500,000 or more a year, you know, and, you know, he may take public transport, for example, and you're in your prime, say, 20-something, and he's just a little bit older. But, you know, I'm just putting a hypothetical situation that's going on out there in the world. You know, she'd rather friend zone that person rather and go for an older, more experienced man with the yacht and the 4 or 5 cars in the garage and the big house, you know. And, you know, for whatever reason, she may, you know, marry that guy, but that guy before she married him, treat her like total crap. But because of the material things, she stay with him compared to this guy who she friends on. So, you know, do you think, how should I put this without sounding insensitive? Do you think that, you know, based on what a man is worth financially, you know, a woman will make a decision to go with that man rather than, you know, start from scratch with a man who, you know, has like a job, for example, KFC or as a chef or something, you know, and not making a big money like the guy making $500,000 or more. You know, women these days. Yes. So,
are you referring to Melania Trump?
Well, that's a perfect example. You know, like, you know, you know, nowadays, women, no matter how bad the man treat her like crap and beat her up and, you know, have his way with her and everything, you know, she'd rather stay with that man than start with a guy who, you know, don't have millions, don't have material things, you know, and the complain, the friend zone that person and marry this other jerk. You know, my question is,
There's another problem there. There's another problem there, David, and that is her lack of self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking now, in addition to her not being able to see what she really wants or knows what she's looking for, she's got such bad self-esteem, and there's a problem that there's already an issue prior to even meeting a man with her.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts
there.
You know, ready to settle. Now, that's low self-esteem. She needs to work on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it all goes back, you know, and I keep saying this over and over, but it all goes back as you go through your life. with your experiences in your life, the people that you have in your life, the people that you had in your life, the people that you loved, mm-hmm. the people that you hated, all of those experiences.
And the people that you've lost.
Could make you who you are. And
thank you.
Sometimes it's hard to get away from that, you know, even though mm-hmm. you have found, you know, someone that you really click with, but, you know, you feel like, oh, I should, maybe I could do better this way, but your self-esteem won't allow it. So I agree. I mean, that's, you know, it's really a
that
tough
to be a strong person.
There's so many variables that go into life in general.
Mm-hmm.
In general, life and so many variables, so many experiences that it's hard to nail things down because
mm-hmm.
everyone's different in the way they think, the way they talk, how they treat people,
mm-hmm.
how if they're respectable to people, if they. You know, if they're having a bad day or a good day, I don't know. It's just a matter of when you find that person that you really click with and
mm-hmm.
feel comfortable with. I think that's
mm-hmm.
the important part. That's important.
Yeah, you have to have criteria first. You have to know when you see. Oh my God, you know what? I was thinking he's a nice guy, and you know we had a conversation, and he actually is a nice guy. You got to be
yeah.
able to,
mm-hmm.
to know and,
yeah.
and catch
yeah.
what you're looking for. It's not going to
yeah.
drop
mm-hmm.
in your lap, folks.
No.
Right.
Exactly.
How about
be a strong human being.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
how you be a strong human being.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But
know yourself.
But check this out. But yeah.
Okay.
All well and good myself. I agree with that. But there's some women, especially these days when you're 20-something, and the media put you on
mm-hmm.
a pedestal. You know, and you have like young looks, natural beauty, you know, L'Oreal help you in terms of makeup and what have you, you know, and
mm-hmm.
you think you're the shit, the hot shit. But like when
mm-hmm.
you reach your 40s and 50s, you know, you start saying, oh, geez, I'm losing my youth and vitality. I'm
mm-hmm.
starting to have crow's
mm-hmm.
feet, gray hair, what have you, you know, and that same
mm-hmm.
guy who she friend zoned or treated like absolute crap. You know, successful
mm-hmm.
and have a business going and probably don't have any kids yet and everything. And she,
mm-hmm.
who married that asshole, so okay, not working, divorce, take half his thing, children, the house, whatever, and then wanted
mm-hmm.
to get back with a guy who she friend zoned or treated like crap. You know, so she went for
mm-hmm.
the bad boy, got burned, and now she said, oh, geez, I made a mistake, you know?
Yeah.
And then the guy who's your friend zoned, you know, basically,
mm-hmm.
You know, slam, bam, thank you, ma'am, bye, or just ignore
mm-hmm.
totally, you know? And then
mm-hmm.
so that's the rub there where some women saying, oh, geez, all men are dogs, all men are pigs. You get what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? But
yeah,
this comes from a male perspective. Not saying it happened out there
yeah.
24/7, but I'm just giving an
no.
example for,
oh,
you know.
It does happen. It does happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, through life,
mm-hmm.
we've all heard stories. We've all had friends with stories, you know, of course
mm-hmm.
we've all had that, you know, different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, that does happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand exactly
mm-hmm.
what you're saying. You're saying this
mm-hmm.
woman, you know, had a good relationship
mm-hmm.
with someone and they clicked,
mm-hmm.
they were, you know, basically happy. And, you know, and then this other man came along and had all the things that she didn't really have to work for that she wanted, and he wined her and dined her. That happens a lot,
mm-hmm.
yes. The reason for it, I don't know. You know, and maybe like Madeline said, it goes down to self-esteem, self-worth, you know,
mm-hmm.
Wanting the Kardashian lifestyle, you know, thinking that
mm-hmm.
you deserve that lifestyle. I know people like that,
mm-hmm.
that feel that
right,
they deserve
right.
that lifestyle. You know, it doesn't
mm-hmm.
matter. You know, they deserve that lifestyle. And they'll
mm-hmm.
do anything to get it because they want it. So, like I said, there's many factors that go into many different things.
Mm-hmm.
And they interpret it as affection to the other person, which is really
yeah.
the injustice
yeah.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad. A lot of times it's sad because, you know, the two people that, you know, probably did care for each other a lot, or maybe they even loved each other, And but she decided, well, I'm still kind of going to be your friend, you know, I'll be your friend, but, you know, I'm going, this is, you know, I'm going to choose this life instead. That happens. It
right.
does happen. Do I think it's always is right? No, I don't think it's right. No. But
there are men and there are women always looking for something else. They're never satisfied. And we just have to accept that's what happens. And if they come sashaying around your property, you make sure you give them the boot right out the door.
Mm-hmm.
You cut friendship with them and you give them a great long distance away because you know what you got at home and you like what you got at home. You keep that type of woman or that type of man away. And a husband's got to do that,
too. Some women, Elaine, some women are not strong enough to do that. They truly, you know, they want their cake and they want to eat it, too. You follow
or
what I'm saying?
Or they're so insecure they don't know how.
Sorry, what?
Or they're so insecure they do not know how.
Yes, exactly. I mean, there's, like I said, there's always many reasons for many different situations.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
No, but I mean, marriage is work. Marriage is work. You don't even have to get married. If you have a long-term relationship, it's work. You have to make sure that when your mate's guard is down and somebody else is trying to make a play, you're there to intercept. You have to be strong. Both parties have to be strong. And both parties, you do your little intercepting here and there. And in some cases, it doesn't work. It just happens.
It sure does.
Well, it saddens my heart because I came from a period in time when marriage was a majority of what people did.
Right.
Okay. And most of them were very happy. Yes, some were not. We raised children. Now we have grandchildren. I mean, and yet now it's completely different.
How about this?
Go
ahead, Lori.
I was just going to say, I was having a conversation with a few younger, in their early 20s, a few weeks back. We were just talking, and it was my daughter's house, and we were all just talking, and they were saying, nowadays, you know, they check out if someone, you know, wants to date them. They check them out as far as even their political
background
ideas.
Check.
They do political, the one said, if he's a Republican, I won't date him. She went as far as saying that. That's
you know,
how things have gotten.
The same thing.
That's
I don't
how
care.
Things have. What?
I would say the same thing.
I'm just saying to you, this is what they were saying, and they truly do. They check them out. They check out if they're going to school. They check out, you know, their relationships. I mean, it is different.
Criminal
is totally
background
different.
Check.
It's different now, you know, and because there's not
if you like somebody,
left.
If
well,
you really care about or care about, you starting to care for somebody, and you don't want to care any more than you have to until you find out who they really are.
Well, it isn't even that so much, Madeline.
Oh yeah,
it's
for me it would be.
Internet.
I mean, I'm starting to care about somebody, and before I get wrapped up into someone who's really probably I'm crazy about, but not good for me.
You know, and the other thing is that the internet, you know, with all these, like, I don't know, what are some of those where you can date on
the dating site?
You meet online.
The dating site.
You know,
dating
sites. And also, you know, and they put their profile up there. Most of the time, their profiles are probably, you know, half-truth. You know, there's probably some truth to it, but a lot of times it's maybe half-truth, you know. And also we have, you know, Instagram. We have Snapchat. What's the other one? The kid, they all like the You know, TikTok.
Kinder,
I mean,
yeah, Kinder's another one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
TikTok is more of a dance.
Match.com. Match.com is more popular one.
They do, yeah, but Madeline, they do try to meet each other. They do try to meet each other through TikTok and all of that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They follow each other. You know, on Instagram, they do the same thing. So they do, it's a different, it's totally different now. It's very different. You know, and trying to adjust to it.
You mean to tell me you ladies haven't had these, even on Facebook, you haven't had these men try to pick you up? Come on.
Of course.
Okay.
Every day.
Every
day.
You get this little comment, I like what I hear, I like what I see, considering I don't put anything personal on my Facebook page. It's all political.
Oh, man, I get messages all the time on Instagram.
Really? Then what am I doing?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, all the time.
Mine
and,
are all military, and they're in physically tip-top
shape. Yeah, a lot of them are military. You know, most of the time I just block them because I don't have that kind of...
I don't even answer them. I just laugh and go, block.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, like I said, and that's what I'm trying to say. Everything has really changed. What?
Well, my granddaughter is what you're saying. She said, you know, I listened to her talk. She said if the man can't have a little bit more than just a high school education, and she said, I work three jobs.
I'm telling you.
If he can't work at least one job, a good job, she says, then I don't even want to date him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't even want to go to coffee with him.
Right.
She's
worked three jobs.
She bought her own house.
We have two callers online.
She wants somebody the same way.
Okay.
We have two new callers on the line. Calling from Pennsylvania, and we'll have Susa from Michigan. Hello, Colleen. Welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm fighting the ends of a cold, so my voice sounds really weird.
Hi, Colleen.
Okay.
But yeah, I've been listening. There are some things I wanted to interject on.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of think that it's all in who people choose as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So guys complain about gold diggers, right? But they pick them.
Mm-hmm.
They want the women who dress hot, wear the high heels, and those are generally the ones that are also gold diggers, you know what I mean? So, like, it's kind of, what are you looking for? If you're looking for that real person, they probably aren't going to look like what you're seeing on the covers of magazines, because they're airbrushed anyway.
Good point.
Colleen, forgive me for saying this. Hi, I'm Madeline. I'm from Michigan.
Hi, Madeline. And I'm
57,
so.
I'll take a few. I'll give you a few of mine. And I'm 70, so. A magazine. I had no idea, is what you were saying about it, beauty and picking the molder. And I did not realize that Murdoch, okay, the Lone Fox, his wife is Jerry Hall.
Thanks for showing up with
Paul.
I'm sorry you had to wait.
He is, or is, Mick Jagger's ex-wife.
I wasn't expecting to go over for like a half hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry Hall used to be a model. So if that's not exactly what we're talking about.
mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's all in who they're picking. They're picking the ones that are like that. So pick better. Choose better. Women are starting to do, and that's why these toxic men can't find a freaking date.
And they become incels. I don't know.
Oh, God, those people are scary.
Yeah. Incels, like that, I think that should be classified a psychological disorder and put on that list, that medical list, there's a number for it, the DMC minus 10 or something. It's a state qualification list. So, but yeah,
I'm going to put you guys on speaker. Hopefully it's not too loud. I just picked up my son.
Oh, no problem. Hey, what do you think about Andrew Tate? I don't know if any of you ladies ever heard of Andrew Tate. You know, what's your opinion?
They burn
That's the radio.
Andrew Tate? Who has
I'll say I had never heard of him until he was arrested. I had no idea that he existed.
Nor
I had no idea he existed on this planet. And from what I read about Andrew Tate, he may go to prison for a while.
Well, I only hope that if they convict him, if it's true, and I think the way he thinks and talks, it sounds like it is.
And what he's teaching in his philosophy.
He's a misogynistic creep.
They need to throw away the key.
Famous or something?
Like some kind of
cult or what?
Not a cult, like a YouTube channel or something.
Okay. Andrew said he was banned from YouTube and all sorts of media, but his fans put on his things. And a lot of women think he's toxic he is toxic, you know, because just recently it was alleged that, you know, in Romania, he invited women to come and the adult content videos, and they were promised to be with him, you know, physically, you know. So a lot of women jump on that. And some women say nothing inappropriate happened in terms of him, you know, holding them down and having his own way. But one woman was saying that, you know, the totally opposite happened, where she was threatened, she was beaten, she was spanked with a belt, you know, she was raped, you know. So that's where the shit hit the fan, though.
Yeah.
And he probably blamed her for the rape.
Yeah, he did make a statement saying that you put yourself in a situation when you get raped. And not saying that rape is something good, it's something definitely bad. But he was making an excuse that, you know, you put yourself in a situation to be raped. Yeah, you know, which is very toxic.
That's logic,
yeah. And that's his thinking, too. And that's exactly how we think, you know. And you have to wonder, you know, mentally, you know, what happened to him in his life that he really thinks like this, or he's really good at, you know, making money, because he made a lot of money doing this. So I don't know which it is.
Yeah. Definitely. All right. So I have a question. Do you think men and women can be friends without it being physical? Is that possible?
What's the question? You're not coming across clear.
Do you think that men and women can be friends without it being physical?
Yes.
Anything romantic going on?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. It can be.
Because remember, this is not the 50s and 60s anymore.
But not all men and not all women fit into that category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm saying yes, but I'm also saying not all women and not all men fit in that category.
I agree. Without a thing. Not everybody, but... Life is, life is just all part of what we go through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have some very close male friends, but then there are some males I wouldn't even attempt it because I know their personality.
Gotcha.
It's a yes or no question.
So it depends on the personality of people involved.
Hey, this is Susan. I wanted to change this up a little bit, because when you wrote your topic for the night about autocracy, you're talking about a system of government
and mm-hmm. men holding the power and women largely excluded from it. And mm-hmm. don't you think that the far right in Congress right now, they're taking yes. away the right for abortion and yes. all kinds of stuff, you know, the right to vote.
What about in Arkansas where the women representatives have to wear long sleeves now, long sleeves, and if they're wearing a dress, they have to put something over their dress to go into the, you know, what? To go into work. So I think that is, that's
what do you mean? Oh, what do you mean over their dress?
They can't
in Missouri, they passed the law.
In Missouri, they passed the law.
Yeah. I guess the arms look sexy or something. I don't know.
Yeah, they cannot.
Yeah, because, okay, this is the deal. Wait, this is the deal. In Missouri and recently in Arkansas, the House and the Senate of those states mm-hmm. put in a law that's saying that women can't bear the arms, you know, because maybe it's too sexual. I mean, it's not up to the woman to control the men's urges. It's up to the men to control their urges. So those laws is like subjugated women. I think it's wrong. You know, I think it's silly that they put these laws in because they can't control their urges.
Yeah,
know?
But what, some women don't use their head either. Now, wasn't it our Democrat, was Sinema? Isn't she the one that showed up in a motorcycle jacket?
I mean, come on.
Yeah. You go to, you're in Congress or House or whatever, Senate, I think she is. And you're
yeah.
sitting in the Senate with a motorcycle jacket on. Give me a break.
I would agree. You should have, you wear appropriate clothes for work. But the thing is, there's nothing wrong with
that. It seems like some of these women had to be told what was appropriate. I mean, just
but
because we're women and we're making our way in this world doesn't mean that all of us women are using our heads. Now, all the men have to work, well, except for Jordan. Now he's wearing a jacket. But the place is air-conditioned. Cover your arms. If the men have to wear long sleeves, then the women wear long sleeves. Sit down and talk about it. I think it's up to the women to sit down at the table with the men and decide what's appropriate.
Well, that's possible. But what I think is that these men are the ones that made the decision and told these women what they had to wear. That is bullshit.
Oh, I see what you're going. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
That's
wrong.
I'm sorry.
Sit down and decide together.
You know, I mean, who are these men that can tell women that even if you wear a dress, you have to wear something over your dress? Really?
Okay.
Go
on that theme. Okay, on that theme.
Yeah.
Patriarchy is where the man is dominant and he holds the position of CEO of a company, or he is the head of the office, and women are dismissed. That's what I was thinking about. And they said there's six structures of patriarchy: paid work, housework, culture, sexuality, violence, and the state. And each of these structures impact upon one another, but are also relatively autonomous. And the symptom, power, authority, influence, and leadership. And then how that affects women. That's what we're talking about. The men, up until now, I mean, I'm old too. I'm 75. So when I was at work, you know, you see I worked at a bank, the tellers. There was a man teller and a woman teller. The man made twice the amount of money as the woman did. My boss was a vice president. She made less than the other vice presidents. I mean, it hasn't all changed. That's what I'm I want to turn it around rather than sexuality in a marriage. It's in the workplace where I think we're still being held back. And in Congress right now, with the far right passing these really extreme measures, you know, voting rights and abortion rights, and trying to, they said government is too big, but they're taking over everything. What do you think on that?
Revolution.
I wish.
Revolution.
Yeah. Double standard.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So we just have to keep fighting, because I know exactly what Susan is talking about. Mm-hmm. I tried to break the glass ceiling by selling used cars and motorhomes, and all I was doing was fighting. The guys told me point blank that I had a husband and to get my ass out and go home. And I told them, well, where was their old lady? Out on a job working. And I went and I wanted to go and complain to the owner, and I was told, don't you dare, because he didn't want you in the used car section to begin with.
Well,
I know exactly what you're talking about. We have a lot of work to do as women. And if
I understand
what you're
saying. It was back
bitches,
in the 60s or 70s, and this is 2023, and it's not any better. That's what
Lynn from New Mexico, I want to say something. Lynn wants to say something. Yes. Hold on.
I understand where you're coming from. I worked for 38 years for new car dealers. And ended up working in the service department as a service advisor. And I spent like 15 years begging and begging for a chance, and they kept saying, oh, it's not a woman's job. And finally I said, you know, what about it requires teams standing up? Because that's the only thing they can do I can't do. And I said, and I've seen a few bathrooms men have used, so they don't do a very good job of it either. But I finally got the job, and it was on there, and about 2 months later, and I was doing real well. I was keeping my sales up in the same category as most of the guys doing that. And the union came to me and said, do you know that they're paying you less? And, I mean, most of the job is commission-based, but there was an hourly, and then there was certain amounts for vacation days and holidays and stuff. And they were paying me about 60% of what they were paying the men. And I said, and they said, do you want to file a grievance? And I'm like, hell yes, I do. You know, I'm doing the same work. Why should it matter, you know, what my underwear looks like? And they had to come in, and they wanted, and they had to give me a nice big fat check, which was nice. But, you know,
I mean, it's a shame we have to still be fighting about that.
Exactly.
That's what pisses me off.
I'll agree with somebody to let me do it. And I think the only reason it happened was because the service manager did not want me to have the job, but the owner did. But I think it was just because he was mad at the service manager. I don't think he gave a shit about what I wanted to do at all. But it worked out for me, and I made serious money there for a few years and was able to buy a house in Silicon Valley, and it made a difference. But, man, it was a fight every day.
I know, and that's not right.
You know, and the younger guys, though, I found were much more open to the idea. In fact, I found that when their service, the mechanics and stuff, the younger guys, when their service advisor was busy and couldn't get a job from them, they'd come see me and they'd do work for me just because they knew I was being treated like shit by management, and they were willing to help me out. And it turned out I ended up with one of the best records there. In fact, I left once, and the new management came in, and my guys went to the manager and said, please call Lynn and make her come back. And he did, offered me a good job, and I came back there until I moved to New Mexico. So, but you've got to fight every day of your life. And
oh, I know, and it's so sad. And, you know, like they make a big deal when a woman is voted in as governor, heaven forbid, or lieutenant governor or AG or mayor of a town. Why should it be so rare, you know, and hard for a woman to be in power, you know?
It should be rare. We just got our right to vote not too long ago.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, and the closest to nuking anybody was Trump, and he couldn't blame it on his period.
I like that one.
Lord. You just have to remember the tortoise and the hare story.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the speed
the tortoise has been running for a really, really long time. It's enough.
Because women are not going to give up. That's the thing. We're not going to give up, and we will get there. It's just going to take us longer.
If this Republican far right gets their way, it's going to be harder and harder for us to get ahead. That's what I'm afraid of.
I have a question for Colleen in Pennsylvania. Do you think in our lifetime we'll see a female president of the United States?
I think so. Absolutely.
Hopefully not a Republican, but
to find a decent one. We haven't really had the best candidate.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. We need the finest.
All right.
Although Clinton
would
have done a great job, I know she would have. She had so much experience, everything, but she had it all against her.
All right. I'm not going to give up on that. Hillary won. She won.
Here's the question.
Damn Electoral College.
Wait, somebody wants to ask a question.
In the year 2028, let's say, who, you know, let's leave Hillary out of this one. Who other than Hillary, Plan B, would you choose for the 2028?
What we need is someone based on the politics of the day.
What do you think of Arizona?
Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
She'd be good.
Elizabeth Warren is amazing.
Oh, the one from Minneapolis, Amy Klobuchar.
I keep saying the one from Arizona, but everybody ignoring me. Carrie Lake for president.
Ooh.
Oh, it's a joke.
Okay. I ignored you on purpose.
I'm not even going to address that.
I didn't either.
I want to go back to Hillary for a moment because I remember when they were making fun of Hillary when she was wearing her pantsuit. Do all of you remember that?
Please.
Oh, yeah.
That was so appalling. That was so appalling. You know, her career came up in a man's world. Let's just say it how it is. She made her way up in a man's world. And she chose to wear pantsuits, maybe because she felt more comfortable in them, or maybe because, you know, she's had men say, oh, you have nice legs. I had that happen to me. So the thing is that, you know, that was a thing at that time, you know, Hillary in her pantsuits, and it was a big joke. I found it ridiculous, you know?
Because they had no other argument against her. That's why.
Right.
She was brilliant.
But, yeah. My only thing that I didn't really like about Hillary is that her politics changed all the time based on whatever was popular. And I don't like politicians like that. I want a politician who's been saying the same thing. Bernie Sanders has been saying the same thing since he was, like, in his 30s.
Yeah,
he's been,
he
I mean, it's like...
No. He's not
like, you know who you're getting.
Yeah.
No, I want to know
let's get back to the person I'm going to have for the next four years,
and they're going to make the same decisions. They're not going to change
what
once they get
AOC?
In there.
What about AOC?
I don't know if she would be a good president.
I don't know.
We have to have a middle of the road woman. You can't have an equivalent one way or another. She would have to grow a set of balls.
AOC.
How about Obama?
I think the lady is still waiting
in
the wings. Come on, be our rising star, just like Barack Obama was. All of a sudden, there he was.
I'm going to say she wants no part of it.
We can't name her now because we don't know who she is.
No, Michelle Obama wants no part of it. I don't blame her.
I agree, Lori.
I don't blame her, but I don't either. But I am just saying that I think Michelle Obama is brilliant. She's a great speaker. She could stand up for herself. She could take the pressure.
You're asking who could do the job?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's president.
Michelle Obama could.
And that's what I'm saying.
She's great.
Will she? Never.
I don't think so. She's been through enough crap now.
No, she didn't even like being in the White House. So,
yeah, Michelle Obama's not going to win.
Exactly.
No,
she was not happy there. She gave him eight years.
You know who's on my radar? But she served as Ed Rendell's lieutenant governor from 2003 to 2008. Well, actually, no, she's gone now. I was thinking Catherine Baker now. She was lieutenant governor for Pennsylvania, but she passed away, you know?
How about
Michelle Lujan Grisham from New Mexico, the governor? She'd make a good president.
I don't know.
I need to look her up more.
Yeah.
How about Ms. Salakin from Michigan?
Who? I'm waiting for my sister.
I think I'm pronouncing her right. Her name right? Salakin.
Melissa Salakin.
You're not coming through clear. Yeah, Salakin. She's not a Republican. The Democrat.
No, she's a Democrat. Yeah. Governor Whitmer.
Yeah. The reason I say her is that she has written so much legislation. She knows how to get things done.
She's former CIA.
You know who else? Katie Porter.
She's former CIA.
Yes.
Oh, she's great.
Katie.
I love her whiteboard.
Katie's
really smart.
I love Katie Porter.
Oh, she's applying to be a senator.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes, she announced her candidacy because Dianne Feinstein stepping down. Dianne Feinstein is like 1,000 years old. You know, God bless her.
She
did well, but, you know, time to move on. I hope I'm not being sexist when I say that. But,
she
get reelected. She's been 96 years old. You know, look at Chuck Grassley in Iowa, for example.
Like
he's 86 years old.
Uh-huh.
And
they
got to
put a time limit on how long they can be in office. I mean, some of them are like Grassley. Oh, you got to be kidding me. He should have been gone a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Look at Ted Kennedy in Massachusetts. Look at Strom Thurmond in South Carolina. Strom Thurmond served until he was 101 years old when he died in office. You know, and that's a career politician right there. You know?
They get too hooked into the money and the big tax, and they're bought and paid for, so they get nothing done, and the people suffer because it's all about the money and them. They all go in poor, but they sure come out rich, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Look on Colorado's Lauren
Bolt.
Oh, yeah, it was straying off. True. John Fetterman. What do you think about John Fetterman? You know, he got elected as U.S. Senator, beat Oz. You know, I'm looking for big things from him because he got rural votes, a first time for Democrats since the 1950s. I think, you know, he did well in his campaign. He ran a different campaign. Do you think he's future presidential timber, even for vice president? I think he's hot now, and I think he'll make a good president one day. What do you think?
You know who I really like?
Wait. Can Colleen answer the question first, and then you come in?
Oh, yeah. Oh, go ahead. I didn't hear it. I don't know
that I would really picture him as a president.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he would probably get a lot of Trumpish voters because of the type of guy he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, you know, he comes from like white middle class. So he'll get a lot of those voters. And, you know, a lot of the redneck voters too, even though he's a Democrat. He's more that rural guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He just is that guy.
But that is not a bad thing, because those kind of
no,
those
no,
kind
it's
of,
not. it's not a bad thing, because he is that rural guy, but he doesn't have that mentality that a lot of those people do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need the needs of the people.
He's a public servant, and
yeah,
he always has been. He'll get chewed up in that machine. I hate to see him suffer there.
Yeah, I don't see him being president. It doesn't fit with him. He's a Pennsylvania guy. He wanted to be governor because he loves Pennsylvania. He's been here like his whole life. As have I. Well, not my whole life, but most of it.
Yeah, go ahead, Dora. You're
in Arizona for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon?
Yeah, you're making
a point. I lived in Arizona for a little while. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. That's not. Lori, you're saying something. Mm-hmm.
We were thinking about future presidents. We were talking women, but I was thinking, I love Pete Buttigieg. I mean, I love that man. I think
he's so smart.
I think he is brilliant. He is. When he responds to someone that tries to cut him down, his responses are not in that same tone. He can cut you down without even knowing it. He is that smart. And
yes.
I absolutely love his demeanor. But it's,
and he's
you know,
done it eloquently.
Yes, and being that he is, you know, married to a man in this country, probably never going to happen for him. But I do think that, I mean, being transportation secretary, he has been all over the country. He really has. I mean, I've never in the past paid attention to the transportation secretary. You never heard about them. You never saw them interviewed. I mean, at least this is my experience. I never saw them interviewed. I hardly ever knew who they were, but he's everywhere. He's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I just think that is just wonderful. I love it. And I would love to see him climb the ladder.
I know. His resume is amazing. He's military.
He
can speak several languages. He's brilliant.
Oh, like eight different languages.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Good man.
Unlike that other guy that says he's, you know. Who's that clown's name again? Unlike him, right?
What's his name? George Carlos.
Santos.
George Santos.
He's got a couple aliases.
What to do with that guy, really, because 10 years back, there's a picture coming up where he dressed in drag, you know, and he went by his mother's maiden name. So is he really George Santos? Who's this guy? Who's this freak show?
Well, they said he
George
goes
Takei
by
from Star
names.
Trek. Uh-huh.
He's a
George
pathetic
Takei
con
is,
this is just a distraction, people. People, this is just a distraction.
Something else is going on.
But they can't get rid of them. They're using them for the
something else is going on. It's something else is going on that we need to be worried about.
Taking away Social Security, like taking away Social Security and Medicare.
There's something else. This is a diversion.
Yeah. We spoke about Democratic Woman possibility.
Calling Social Security and Medicare entitlement when they take it out of your damn paycheck every month. It's
and
not an entitlement.
When
we
you get your benefits.
Pay for it.
We are entitled to it at this point. We are entitled to it. So at this point, it is an entitlement.
But they're saying it's a giveaway from the government. Goddamn.
No, we all know better.
Like,
we all know better. Come on, ladies. We all know better.
Definition?
I know. And how do they figure their own Republicans will
it's
vote for them if
they
cut
saying it because
that
they
out.
Think we're stupid. They're saying
I
it
mean,
because they think we're stupid.
Republicans
don't
get Social Security.
Nobody wants that. Like, unless you're rich and you can afford to like save all your money for your retirement, nobody wants that. Like, everybody making under $100,000 a year wants Social Security.
What they need to do is increase the deductions on the rich, the very rich. I forget what the level is that they take out. You know, at a certain point, they don't take any more out. But they need to go up and up because they collect.
The cap is $142,000.
Oh, $142,000.
And then they don't take it out of your paycheck anymore?
Yeah. Right.
I forgot. Mm-hmm. I used to do payroll. You think I remember? But they need to raise it way more than that. That
mm-hmm.
was funded right there, not to mention
exactly.
Reverse the $2 trillion tax cut.
If they would quit stealing from it, we wouldn't have a problem.
And funding on unnecessary wars, for example. That's
right.
A way
yeah.
of them stealing it. Okay, shift the gears. We spoke about possible Democratic women for 2028. Do you think on the other side there are any woman who would be suitable for President of the United States? Please don't say Sarah Palin. If anybody says Sarah Palin, I scream.
Oh, puke, no.
Oh, my God, no.
No,
Katie from California.
Katie
she should
Porter?
Run for president. Katie Porter.
Yeah,
I'd rather have her be
really
my VP.
She's got a personality quite a bit like Nancy Pelosi, and she can sit
yeah,
there and look at you, and then all of
a
sudden
she
comes out with the facts. And when
yeah,
she comes out with the facts, she nails
we're talking
you.
About, right, but we're talking about Republicans now. On the Republican side, is there any woman
on the Republican side?
Yes.
Compared to her?
Republican women who are possibly, you know, could run for president in 2028.
Lake.
Do you have anybody in
Carrie
mind?
Lake.
Nobody
Lake
that
was
voted for.
Oh,
I think that's who
oh,
we're
God.
Running.
Carrie Lake, you got to be kidding.
Well, she does. She does. She's already said it.
Mm-hmm.
So, she's crazy,
that's
too.
Good.
I mean,
yeah,
she is.
Is.
Crazy.
They don't have anybody that's
okay,
going to get
somebody else
vote.
Has to...
Mm-hmm. I can't think of a
maybe they'll run that Romney. That Romney
Lori,
woman.
Throw your name in there.
For what?
For Republican? No.
For what? No, Lori, throw your name in.
For what?
President.
President.
Can run for as a Republican.
No way. I've been asked too many times to run. I'm not doing it.
Okay. Let's wrap up now. 27 minutes left. Do you care to tell the audience out there, each of you ladies, about any toxic masculinity that you face personally? You know, I mean, it don't have to be a real deep personal thing, you know, but, you know, like, and how did he deal with that certain thing that, you know, with toxic masculinity? How did he deal with that? Whether it's job or whether it's just like in general life?
Hmm. Well, let's see.
Well, now I have to. Each one of us has are in a different spot in our lives. Like I'm
yeah.
retired.
But, yeah. I mean,
who's still working?
Mm-hmm.
No,
mm-hmm.
I'm not.
I'm still
no,
working,
I'm,
but I work remote. So
when I was younger, I worked
mm-hmm.
in this office, and mm-hmm. My boss's brother. Would come in there and it would, you know, would come into the office and he would, you know, offer me coffee, ask me to go to lunch, blah, 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 blah,
mm-hmm.
blah. So, and I would say no all the time because I didn't want any part, you know, I didn't want that. So
Mark,
mm-hmm.
one time everyone had left the office and I was still there. I was closing up and this is before I went into what I actually did in my life, but this is way before. And so, you know, he comes into the office and he started talking to me and I was starting to feel a little bit uncomfortable. And, you know, so he was, you know, trying to grab at me, et cetera, et cetera. And I
mm-hmm.
hauled off and screamed, and screamed at him and he left.
Mm-hmm.
And then I told his brother, who was the owner of the company, and he, you know, didn't allow him ever to come back into the, you know, into the office again.
Good for the brother.
Huh?
Good for the brother, the boss.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I ended up leaving there after, you know, after that and went into my career. But I'm just saying, yes, it happens to all of us. I was in an office another time. I'll give one more example. I was in an office another time, and I normally don't wear dresses or skirts to work. But this day, I think I and I had this one couple that I was working with, and the husband, you know, and his wife is sitting there, and the husband was there, and we were talking, and they were getting ready to leave the office, and, you know, he looked at his wife, and he said, boy, she really has nice legs, doesn't she? I was so embarrassed because, and I felt bad for her. I didn't even know what to, so those kinds of things stuck with me, and I just like it.
Very uncomfortable, yes.
I thought he cut his wife down, you know, by saying that.
Yes,
you know?
Very insulting.
And he embarrassed me, and he embarrassed me as well. And
yes,
I just kind of shrugged it off, ignored it. But, you know, those kind of comments kind of stay with you, you know. And there's been a few.
You don't forget them. Yeah.
And there's been a few other things, but I won't go into them. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead.
I have one. When I was about 20 years old, I was working in the cafeteria at AT&T, and it was a union place, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
My boss asked me out, and I said no, and then he tried to fire me.
Yep.
And
wow.
I went to the union, and I got my job back because I didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good
for you.
And that does happen. That does happen, and it probably happens both ways, you know, if
yeah.
a woman is the boss. And I'm sure it happens both ways. We've
mm-hmm.
all heard the story, you know.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad you got your job back.
Yep.
I got fired. I was working part-time. I was working at a jewelry store. And this female boss had the habit. Women and girls were still wearing dresses at this time. Very rare you see pantsuits.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular boss, she had the reputation of liking to goose us girls.
Ah!
And I remember telling her, don't ever do that to me because I am liable to have a gut reaction. Well, this was on Christmas Eve, and I bent over to pick out a piece of jewelry for one of the customers, and she come up behind me, reached up under my skirt, and goosed me. And gut reaction, and I swung my arm at her full force and knocked her to the ground. She called security and had me removed from the mall.
Really?
Well, that was assault.
Now it is. You'd have her removed
on her
job,
you know. Assault,
I tried doing something about it, but that was way before women started, you know, complaining. I went to the state. I complained to the state. I filed a grievance and all that stuff, but it never went anywhere. But I don't think she'll ever forget it either. I knocked her right down on the ground. I just pivoted around with my hand and hit her square in the face, and down she went.
I hope she had a big black eye.
I don't know. All I know is I was escorted by two very large gentlemen to my car.
Oh, that's funny.
And I came home early. My husband said, what happened? I said, she goosed me. He said, oh, no. He already knew. I had, you know, my instinct kicked in, and down she went.
She deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
how about
I mean, you know,
David,
sexual harassment can come from, it can come from anywhere.
Yeah. How about you, David?
Well,
has that ever happened
yeah,
to you?
Sure.
Yeah,
sure,
David.
Back in New York, quick story. Back in New York when I was pursuing acting, I was with ABC Disney. And in this industry, you know, modeling, acting, what have you, there are the gay community is strong, you know, and so I was on set, and, you know, and, you know, the role required me to be, like, in a mankini or bikini or, you know, those things for men. And
oh, yeah, the shoulders.
Speedos, there you go, speedos. And so
yeah.
This gay guy was oiling me up and everything. You know, oiling me up, and, you know, it was like extra work and everything. And then he got handsy. I'm like, sir, you know, I'm not feeling comfortable. Could you, you know, not be so excited when you do this? You know, and then he got offended, you know, and you know, because he is or was a big shot in the industry. I don't know if he's still in the industry now. You know, he went to the director, and the director said, oh, you know, you Jamaicans are homophobic. I'm like, no, it's not a case of being homophobic, but he was getting, you know, handsy, too handsy, meaning, you know, supposed to be the oil supposed to be on my body, and he's grabbing at my crotch and feeding my butt, and, you know, it's weird. So I have to say something, you know? So that was one of a couple, you know, times that I was harassed, basically, you know?
You should have
texted
like Marilyn did.
No, then you don't hear, oh, look at that, the Jamaican, you know, hate gays. You know, that's a typical thing. Mm-hmm. And Lynn has a story.
Years ago, I worked at again at a car dealership. That's mostly what I did. But I had I was a dispatcher and a service advisor yelled at me in front of a bunch of customers and stuff about something that was actually his fault. But I waited calmly until the customers left, and then I laid into him. And he went and complained to the service manager, who came out and fired me for not knowing my God-given place as a woman, and you don't yell at men. So I drove from there immediately to the L.A. County employment office thing there, and the lady there, she's like writing out, he said what? He said it knows exact words, and she's just writing this all down. And so they asked me if I wanted my job back, and I said no, not really, I didn't want to work for that asshole. But they got to pay me for 3 more months while I got a good tan that summer.
Good.
Nice.
I guess I'm the person in the group. I never was harassed at work, ever. I mean, I got paid less for my jobs, but I never had any of those bad experiences. So I lucked out.
Mm-hmm.
Unless
mm-hmm.
you call teaching in front of a whole bunch of kids, and one kid called me a fat ass, and I grabbed him by the collar and dragged him down to the nun's office. So I guess. But outside of that.
You don't want to go to the nun's office.
Yeah, the Mother Superior's office. And I said, hey, he's not coming into my class until he apologizes to me in front of the class. And the kid's dad worked for my husband. That went over really big.
Oh,
he came
boy,
in
boy.
Like a little mouse and went in front of the class 2 days later. I gave him zeros for those days he was gone. And he apologized and everybody was laughing at him. But nobody ever
back in the day when
said
I was in high school. Back in the day when I was in high school, this was back in Jamaica. I went back to Catholic school, all boys school, St. George's College. And I was always a smart ass. And this, sister, her name was Sister Mary Grace. And, you know, for whatever reason, I just loved to taunt this 4'2" woman, this Catholic nun. You know, and I called her Sister Scareface. It was a religious education class. And I was, you know, putting my hand up. She keeps ignoring me. So the last 5 minutes of the class, put up my hand. I said, okay, Mr. Franklin, what do you want? I was like, ask the question, was Jesus a virgin? And that 4'2" woman stormed from her desk and lounged at me and grabbed me by the throat, literally, and grabbed me by the ears and, like, yanked me to the principal's office. I never forget you know? And I was like, oh, you're such a chauvinistic pig. How can you ask a question like that? It's a religious class. I'm not having my class for the term. That, you know? Parents have to come in, got suspended.
Wow.
You know? So that was my little toxic masculinity behavior. I'm sure there's more, but, you know?
Oh, God.
I mean, that to me, that wasn't an unreasonable question, but, you know, I guess I was like a troublemaker, you know, so I should have been quiet. And, oh, yeah, parents, like, really read the riot after me. Oh, God, I was in trouble, you know.
Oh.
And surprisingly, when I was living in Florida, Sister Mary Grace called me. She said that she was on her deathbed dying of cancer. She said, you know, she wanted to let me know that she loved me and she could forgive me a long time ago and just,
aww,
you know, have a good life.
Oh,
you know, and
oh,
start,
that's
you,
sweet.
Don't be a toxic,
was...
don't be a toxic masculine. Or
you,
be a toxic man. You know?
Well,
yeah, so here I am talking about the topic again. You know? Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Yes,
to how many women?
Huh?
To how many women?
How many women?
What?
What do you mean?
Well, you're telling your story to how many women?
One, two, three, four, five women, plus Lynn, six, and whoever
listening.
That's my point. You're not doing a bad job. There you go.
And hundreds listening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I have a lot worse ones,
well,
but, you know,
right.
I don't want people to hear that. But I have a lot of
I've got
worse
a question
ones
for
there,
every. I've got a question for the gals out there. Have any of you experienced this where you did receive either verbal and or sexual harassment and you reported it to a female and got told it was your fault?
No.
No.
No. Good question.
No. No.
Lynn saying yes.
Lynn says no.
No, but no yeses out there. That's surprising.
Well, I actually have a yes, again, with a car dealership where the general manager was hitting on me a lot, and I went to the office manager, even though she wasn't my direct superior, he was, and told her what she was doing, and she goes, well, maybe you should dress better.
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
You know what, you know, these
That's what I was after.
Get some voice memo. Get their copy,
yeah, well,
microphone your phone.
I actually had a microphone, one of those little Sony recorders with the little mini cassettes in it, and I had that in my desk at work because the service manager used to come out and say
phone.
Really shitty things to me, and that just disappeared one day.
Oh, wow.
Your iPhone becomes
so
a
I just found a different job.
You do have to be careful where you're recording people, in which states. In Pennsylvania, if you record somebody without them knowing, you can actually be charged illegal wiretapping.
I think it's true, too.
Wow.
I think it is in California,
I just wanted to take it to the movie.
So you have to check your state rules.
Well, maybe it's a good idea to be a criminal in Pennsylvania.
It really it made it hard to deal with like an abusive relationship because like I recorded everything but I couldn't use any of it.
That's wrong.
Yeah, that is very very wrong.
It's a man's law, right?
I'm sure
it's
it
a man's
law,
world, but woman run it.
Well, I
it's a man's world, but women run it. That's a saying.
It's a man's world, but women. Well, I don't know about that. I haven't been able to run anybody's life but my own lately.
So
I guess I'm not out to running anybody's life. It's enough to take care of myself, my happiness, my little family, my little cat.
Right.
Try to participate where I can in life and have my good friends, which I'm making all the time. Every talk on the phone.
I know.
That's great.
Right. All right. So last question for everybody before we go. Do you think that there will be true equality in the next 20, 30, 40 years? Between men and women.
No.
I think what?
I don't think that's
equality.
Let's see. In the next 30 to 40 years.
30 or 40. It depends. If we get a woman president eventually, things may change a little faster. But as things are right now, I would say probably not. But we need.
Well, think about it now. In the last 40 years was 1982. What have we accomplished since then?
Nothing much. You know what's depressing is that every other country in the world, like New Zealand, Australia, Germany, they all have women presidents, or ministers or whatever. But us, I mean, what the hell are they waiting for?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The question was, what have we done in 40 years? We got our own credit. We have broken some glass ceilings. Mm-hmm. We have put, there's been women vice presidents. We have moved, maybe not as fast as we should have, but we have moved.
We did get a little better. You're right.
Our glass is half full.
We have
moved.
Actually, you know what we can say, ladies, and Dave, I think you know this as well, that when Biden went under colonoscopy, while he was under anesthesia, Kamala Harris was sworn in as president and got the code. For whatever that hour was or hour and a half, she was president and no one even thought. So, we've had a woman president. So if anybody bitches, technically we really have.
That's right.
Imagine John McCain is president. Imagine if John McCain won the presidency and Sarah Palin was vice president. And John McCain, he had cancer and he died. Imagine somebody like Sarah Palin in the presidency. Just imagine for 1 minute.
Help me, Jesus.
No.
Help me, Jesus.
Keep me up all night. That's a nightmare.
I need Jesus.
John McCain's daughter would have killed her.
Yeah, probably.
His daughter couldn't stand her.
True.
I don't know. I can't imagine it.
Yeah, I can imagine it. Ooh, I can see my house from Russia. See Russia from my house or whatever she said. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Republican women are ridiculous. Yeah,
she's right up there with Marjorie Greene and Boebert.
Yeah.
Hey, do you know what's
Marjorie
ridiculous?
Greene and Boebert. Do you know early in the week, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, that Boebert was
in
having a conversation with... Boebert was having a conversation with Congresswoman Debbie Dingell from Michigan.
Didn't know that
Mary Taylor Greene is in the bathroom. It was a second shift, who knows? So that's that. But anyway, Boebert was talking shit and smack, and then out came Marjorie Taylor Greene storming out, and literally hands were thrown, according to reliable sources and news media like NPR. And when NPR asked
it's
Congresswoman Dingell, "What happened?" You know, she said, "Whatever happened in the ladies' room stays in the ladies' room." And I'm going to expound it because these two women, Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene, have powerful committee slots. Boebert is on appropriations committee that appropriate monies to the different. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is part of the
Homeland
Security.
Homeland Security.
Are you kidding me?
And stuff for them to be fighting, literally fist fighting and everything. You know that. I mean, it's funny on the outsets, but you know, imagine the whole 2 years. We're going to go through this the whole 2 years.
Homeland Security, Susie, and
conservatives, holding America hostage. You know, holding America hostage because in March is the debt ceiling limit that debate.
Yeah, it is.
So do you think that Republicans will be
wise and reasonable with Democrats and not shut everything down that they usually do.
And their buddy Trump is the one that had the most debt than any other president ever. But they don't mention that.
Right. What do you think? Do you think a compromise could be made with the debt ceiling coming up in March? Are Republicans going to see a more stupid behavior where everything shut down? Go ahead, Lori.
What they're trying to do is they want to put, they have just introduced a bill. It's called the Fair Tax Act. And it was a Republican in Georgia that introduced the bill. He's got like 20 co-sponsors. He's got like 20 co-sponsors as well. And what this bill will do will, it will put a national tax, sales tax, federal sales tax, national, of 30% on everything that you, not only that, they will abolish, they want to abolish the IRS, and this is all in this, I mean, it's unbelievable, and they want to abolish the IRS, and also each state is going to, would be responsible for collecting the sales tax and then sending it to the federal government. Now that within itself is
bullshit
scary.
Is that. Bullshit.
I know. And also,
bullshit.
And also, you would not be paying. You will not be paying into your Social Security and your Medicare. So this is a way to get around, and Medicaid. So this is a way to get around, because they know that Social Security and Medicare, they can't just take money away from it because it is so popular, as you know. So
well, it's in the law.
Is both,
it's the law. You have to contribute and you get it back at 65. Then they want to change.
Yeah.
They want to change it without changing the law. Well, it ain't going
to
happen.
But they want, they want to go through the back door, so to speak. So this is the next fight. And the debt ceiling is something that we have to worry about, because it is debt that's already been accrued. It's not new debt. So that's the other fight that we have. And it'll shut everything down.
Yes, ma'am. And we'll talk about that Thursday coming up and everything.
Yep.
And we want to thank Colleen from Carlin from Pennsylvania, Carol in Illinois. Susie, Elaine, and Madeline in Michigan. We really appreciate you calling tonight.
Good night, everybody.
Stay safe.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Good night.
Good night,
yes,
Elaine.
Ma'am.
Good night.
I love my Michigan friends.
Yes, ma'am. That was Colleen, a first-time call, and Carol in Illinois. Colleen was calling from Pennsylvania, and I want to thank those two ladies for calling in as well. We love new people when they're calling. Carol, this is like the second time I think she's calling in. Yes, ma'am.
That's nice.
All right, so everybody, I hope you enjoyed the show. It was an important topic about male toxic behavior, death to the patriarchy. Hopefully we can come together and work together, male, female, and not hate each other and kill each other, because, you know, it's all for the common good. All right, till next time, Thursday, same time, same place on Block Talk Radio. This has been Kitchen Politics for January 19th, 2023. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Laura.
Good night, David. Everyone have a good evening. Good night. We'll see you all Thursday. Bye now. Thank you.
Thank you.